The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Tom Fairbanks. Tom is engineering and producing the show, and so far, Tom has managed to avoid the flu.
So far... I got my my own little muff for my microphone.
I see that. You know, I post occasionally some of these Facebook questions, and I posted, is there anyone left in Tucson who has not yet had the flu? And the reaction has been just unbelievable at the Bill Buckmaster Facebook page. And some of the remedies that people are using, kind of old wives' tales, some of those, you know, have been really interesting.
Well, if you find any that work, let me know.
Drinking vinegar? No, that's been, you know, some kind of...
That might cure you of anything. Everything.
Yeah, all righty. It is Friday, January the 19th. It is our Friday Focus interview today, and we have Regina Romero is with us, Democrat, Ward 1, City of Tucson. Regina, how are you?
Good, thank you. Happy New Year. I haven't seen you since last year, Bill.
Yes, haven't seen you since the last year. Thank you. Joe Ferguson has come in, and we always appreciate Joe. Joe is part of our team, part of the stable of reporters who come in to help me do our Friday Focus interviews. Joe is the political reporter for the Arizona Daily Star. Joe, how are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me. I've avoided the flu so far.
Well, good for you. You know, it may just
me and Tom are the last two left.
I've avoided it too.
You have?
Yes.
Is there some secret, maybe a shot of tequila every night to keep it?
Whiskey in my case.
Yeah, there you go.
Bourbon over here.
Friday, we do like to thank all of our media people. And this program is so well supported, and we thank these people for prominently displaying the Buckmaster Show logo, TucsonSentinel.com. That's Dylan Smith's organization. And Dylan will be with us for our roundtable portion of the hour at 12:30. Green Valley News and Sarita Sun. Dan Scheer running those papers, and Dan always accuses me of mispronouncing Saharita, the H being silent.
Sawarita.
Give it to me, Regina.
Sawarita.
Sawarita.
There you go.
All right. Sawarita Sun.
I grew up there.
You did?
I say it a little differently, kids, but...
Please say it.
No, we're good.
We'll move on. Tucson Local Media, they have quite a group here in town. They have in their, under their masthead, they've got the Tucson Weekly, Inside Tucson Business, and kind of a handful of other publications all supporting us. Southern Arizona News Examiner and David Morales, longtime blogger, supports us at the Three Sonorans. And speaking of David, he wanted to know before we... David, as you know, Regina is very passionate about Mexican American studies, and I guess you were a former member of the MAS Advisory Board.
Yes.
Do you support reinstating MAS?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I fought very, very much so that it would not be eliminated from the city of Tucson, and now that the lawsuit against the state really coming to fruition and basically saying what so many of us in this community had been saying, that dismantling Mexican-American studies was motivated by race. And Judge Tashima basically saying that it... it was motivated by race, and it shouldn't have been done, and it was illegally dismantled.
So you're saying reinstate it?
Yes, absolutely. I think that having the Mexican-American experience and the history and perspective reinstituted into the curriculum and reinstituting the program itself is important.
Joe?
It's been a long-ranging fight ever since I've been in Tucson. I'm glad that this chapter has finally been closed.
How about the federal shutdown that may be happening? And DACA is tied to this, the so-called Dreamers, and I know you feel very passionate about that. First of all, let me ask you, would the city of Tucson be impacted by a federal shutdown if that happens today?
Well, first and foremost, the people that work in the federal government, you know, not having them receive a paycheck is going to definitely affect the Tucson economy. It is very unfortunate that this could have been done with a clean DACA bill. I know for a fact that there are Republican Congress people that want to renew DACA. But the Dreamers have been held as bargaining chips to pass a much more draconian bill in Congress that uses the Dreamers as leverage to start funding the wall, Trump's wall. And so it is very unfortunate that Republican legislators up in Congress are using people and families as a bargaining chip. Instead of just doing what's right, they know it's right to pass a DACA bill to clarify the situation of almost 800,000 people that have lived, studied, and are contributing members of our society.
Do you know some Dreamers? Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I knew a few that, you know, are going to school because of DACA, are going to school, are working, are contributing to our community.
They're held in limbo right now.
Absolutely. And every day we wait, there are young people losing their status and in limbo as to what's going to happen next. So, you know, they followed the law. DACA said, if you give us your name and number and living situation and address and all the information to be able to contact them, we will give you this permit to work. And it should be resolved by Congress. And so, you know, it is very unfortunate that we're at this point today. People still in limbo and the government not doing what the right thing to do is.
All right, got a couple of phone calls at 790-2040. Before I go to those, Joe, would you like to join in the conversation with another question?
Well, I just wanted to say, you know, in terms of federal shutdown, that's, you know, only if there's a long-term shutdown do we really see a deep impact in terms of the federal workers, including military personnel. And the last time we saw one of those was in 2013, where military workers were given their checks back by an act of Congress after a shutdown. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the immediate impacts inside of Tucson are pretty small. Federal closures of parks and things of that nature. So I imagine tourism would
all
be
right.
The hardest hit.
Mm-hmm. And Carl would like to weigh in on that particular question. No, you want to go to Chuck first. Can we go to Carl? Okay, let's go to Carl first because it's about this particular topic. Go ahead, Carl.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hi.
I don't think that it's going to be that big of a deal for the military people because I'm retired military, and the past shutdowns, the banks that we use basically fronted us the money that came in on the payday, and then when the checks came through, they deducted it from the checks.
Wow, I did not know that.
Oh, wow, well, that's good.
That's good to know. Thanks, Carl.
Thank you.
Chuck, what would you like to add? Chuck has called us at 790-2040. Hi,
yes,
Chuck.
Hello, Councilman Romero. You mentioned the economy and how the shutdown might affect that. But I don't know if you are aware of this, but a study came out today, well, it was announced today, that Tucson achieved another first, that first being the slowest growing economy in the entire state.
Okay. Chuck?
Thank you, Chuck. Okay. I really appreciate your calling. And, you know, to be honest with you, there are other studies out there done by Wallet Hub and others that show Tucson leading in Arizona in terms of creating jobs. But to be honest with you, I do agree that we should be doing better. In Arizona's economy, period, should be doing better. There's also, I believe it's the University of Arizona that did a study in terms of job creation, and Maricopa County is going to create most of the highest percentage of job creation in Arizona. That's one of the biggest issues that I have in terms of how the second largest city in Arizona is treated by the state legislature and the ACA and the governor's office. Arizona, especially the state legislature, Arizona wins when the economy of Tucson and other areas of our state is healthy. Yuma is the third largest city in Arizona and also sees a lot of unemployment and very little job creation. So we're hoping that there is a strategy in the governor's plan to expand job creation and infrastructure development, not just in Maricopa County, but in the rest of the state too.
All right, we'll take our break right here. It's 12:15. Joe Ferguson is here, political writer from the Arizona Daily Star, Rahina Romero, Ward 1, Tucson councilperson. If you'd like to join in the conversation, as Carl and Chuck did during our first segment, 790-2040, and we will get you on the air. Let's take the break right here, Tom, and then we'll be back in a few minutes. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card?
From Arizona highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday, our Monday Political Face-Off features commentators John Munger and Vince Robigo. Also, the latest on the Arizona tax credit. All happening during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice, and we're always on buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview today, Regina Romero is here, Ward 1 Tucson City Council member, and Joe Ferguson is here from the Arizona Daily Star. I want to remind everybody that our program on Friday does re-air on Saturday morning at 7 here on KVOI. Joe, I was very interested in your piece on Thursday in the Arizona Daily Star about a 125-room hotel that would be connected to the Tucson Convention Center. In my 30 years here in town, that had always been kind of the dream of the convention planners here to try to get a hotel connected to TCC.
Well, you're going to see it next year. Dream realized.
Yeah.
So $20 million by Caliber coming in to build a hotel in a really small space. Planners have worked out with the city ways to put it next to the TCC without impacting parking. Matter of fact, you'll actually get a couple more spaces by the time the thing is done. So it could be big news for downtown.
It is a good story.
Right, and especially because we have the AC Marriott.
Mm-hmm. Which is doing
already
very
online.
Well.
That's it's doing, doing good. Very well. Yes, and it's a beautiful.
I had some friends that wanted to stay there, and the place was completely booked. They couldn't even get a room.
Wow, that's good news.
It is, and now with the gem shows coming in. Joe, how is the parking going to be around there impacted?
So they're building on a landscaped area of the TCC, which means it will not impact parking in terms of the footprint of the hotel, the restaurant, the coffee place, all that will be on that landscape footprint. And then the TCC has gone back and decided to restripe the entire parking lot, all four of them, to get about 95 new spaces. 70 will go to the hotel, and the rest will be used for the public.
Is parking an issue downtown? And
absolutely.
I know you're writing about it. Yeah. Regina?
Yes.
It is.
Yes, absolutely. And parking's always an issue. In downtown, we do have amazing parking garages run and maintained by the city of Tucson. But around the TCC, there's always been an issue. And, you know, I think Joe's writing about this. It's
tomorrow's paper.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So we're kind of giving you a preview of the story for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You can read the entire story tomorrow on the Arizona Daily Star. But the parking issues is it's really not news in terms of what the residents at Barrio Viejo and Barrio Santa Clara. And to be honest with you, over in Ward 1, Kroger Lane and Menlo Park are used to having some parking issues. Good things happening. You know, it's basically we have to find answers to, you know, our downtown and our downtown neighborhoods and really having a lot of economic activity. And so it's actually good news in terms of the economy and the activities happening downtown, but the neighbors do feel it.
What about the price point, Joe?
Well, I think that's some of it. Is that you get overflow parking into the neighborhoods where the parking is unrestricted, and people just want to try to avoid a $10 parking permit to park next to TCC. There are private parking places that are nearby that are five, but for those who just don't have it in the room in the budget, they try to park in the neighborhoods and just walk a little bit further. So the city is thinking about lowering the prices at the TCC and then, you know, pushing mass transit options. Rahina and I were talking yesterday about some of those things, including parking next to, say, the state building, where there's plenty of free parking, but it's a little bit off your ways if you wanted to, say, grab a streetcar.
Right, and I think we have to bring in line the cost of parking on the TCC parking lot versus the garages that charge only $5 to park. So I think bringing in line the charge at the TCC parking lots and encouraging users to take transit. The streetcar is a good option. For example, with our family, we park on the west side, take the streetcar and go to our football games and our basketball games at the U of A. So it just takes a little bit of walking. And
Do use public transportation then to get to those events.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that parking at one of our parking structures, hopping on the streetcar and then coming over to the TCC, especially for hockey or other events, is a good idea.
How about the homeless situation? One of our Facebook friends is very concerned. He says he drove by the park at Speedway and Stone this morning, and there were so many homeless people in the park that there is no way a mom with her kids would feel safe. We proposed a tent city where homeless would have the freedom to live outside and not go to treatment if they did not wish. Where are we on homeless this winter?
Well, I'll tell you, we've had a really warm winter, so we've had a growth in homeless community that are escaping from the Midwest and the northern part of our country.
And where, even the South has had huge storms, snowstorms, highly unusual.
Very unusual. And so so people tend to travel to Tucson because we have very mild winters. And so for me, to be honest with you, I think tent cities are just temporary. I think that we need to find answers to why, you know, the root of the problem. Why are people homeless? There are mental issues. There are addiction issues.
But you're not on board with tent cities necessarily.
It's very difficult because neighbors in the different areas of the city, you know, of course have to let us know if they like it or not. And most neighborhoods say no. And to be honest with you, I would much rather see a long-term solution to individuals that are suffering through homelessness. And so much better, high quality places for them to go in and be treated and look at the root of the problem. To be honest with you, I think that Councilmember Fimbres is hitting out of the park with his work on the homelessness issue and houselessness issue.
Where they pick up homeless people and put them to work for the day.
Right. There's a program that has been created that with public and private funds to put people that want to work. And we're working as a city with Pima County, nonprofit organizations, private businesses that are pitching in to run this program. And it's been very successful so far. And I think that there's an opportunity for expansion of it. There's also nonprofit organizations that, not many, that take in homeless people without any question as to
whether they're a user or whatever.
Yes, it's a housing first model that has been used, and it's much more successful than expecting a homeless person to stop drinking and then house them. So it's a housing first model that has been working very effectively.
You guys looked at kind of a tent city program last year. It was on a much smaller basis that have allowed churches and businesses to allow some overnight camping, I guess is the kind of word mm-hmm. we would use. But I believe that's now dead on arrival.
Well, it really never passed. The concept was we have a lot of church parishes and church communities that that feed homeless communities. And so we also wanted to expand the thought of feeding homeless people, but also of housing them and allowing churches and parishes and their property to have to open their space for overnight camping. And, you know, there was some thought of putting a limitation to it, but we haven't moved on that thought, and it doesn't seem as though there are parishes that are stepping up to say, yeah, we want to do that. So, it's homelessness, as you know, is an issue that is a phenomenon in this country and throughout the world. And it's a hard issue, but I believe that we're taking really good steps with the leadership of Councilmember Fimbres on this issue here in Tucson.
Let's go to our live line. Adriana has called us at 790-2040. Hi, Adriana.
Hi, Bill. I'm so glad you're feeling so much better.
Oh, well, thank you for saying so.
Yes. Yeah, so I've looked at different cities across the country because this has been an issue that I have personally, you know, have found that, you know, there's people who choose to live homeless, be homeless people, and then there's people who just need the help to, you know, get ahead. Other cities have done away with tent cities and have gone with a tiny movement, a tiny house movement, and Phoenix is doing that. So to me, saying we need to look at the root of this, well, we already know what the root of it is. We have people who are addicted to drugs, addicted to alcohol, have mental issues, but just saying that we're not going to do a tent city, but we're going to look at the root of it, it doesn't really solve anything. We have the most nonprofits, I think, in the whole state of Arizona as a city. So I still think that you actually need to come up with a solution instead of keep saying that we need to look at the root of the problem, because there's enough resources out there that people can take.
Right, and I agree. We know partially what the root of the problem is, and we need to make sure that there's more federal and state funds for behavioral health, and federal and state funds to help cities. And I like this tiny house movement. Other cities have done it.
Oh, where they're real small, like
tiny house, tiny
bedroom,
small house,
kitchen,
yes,
living room, all in one room, basically.
Uh-huh, it is, and they're very affordable.
Yeah,
they're very, very affordable. Actually, as a matter of fact, the Vail School District is pitching an idea of a tiny house for their school teachers. Teachers are paid such horrible wages. They need tiny houses to be able to afford living in Vail. So I actually agree. I think that with the coalition that the city of Tucson has formed, the funding that we do receive from the federal government, funding organizations like Primavera and other organizations that have programs for homelessness, we should look at. And if there's some zoning codes,
are you gonna
that we
put
need
that
to look
forward
at,
with the council,
yeah,
about this
you know,
tiny house movement?
Absolutely. And it's something that Councilmember Fimbres has been talking with in this homeless coalition that was put together. We definitely need to make sure that we investigate, and if it's possible to do it, then we need the entire community to buy into it.
Joe, I'm going to have to wrap it up. Did you have anything more?
I just wanted to see if there are any surprises ahead for the budget retreat next week.
We might take a look at the possibility of how the budget looks next year and the possibility of raises. So there's talk of that. I know for a fact that I have been asking the city manager to take a look at the budget and bring us a plan that includes a raise for our employees, because they have not received one in a few years. So we need to make sure that we that we talk about that, and if it's possible for all of the City of Tucson employees to receive not only a cost of living, but a raise.
So raises will be talked about.
I hope so, because that's what we've been, that's what I've been asking for.
All right. Joe, thank you very much, and we'll hear from you in a few minutes with Dylan Smith, who just walked in the door. Dylan from TucsonSentinel.com. Rahina Romero, thank you very much for spending some time with us over the lunch hour. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Thanks a lot. 12:34 on The Buckmaster Show. We'll take our break right here. Then we'll have our roundtable portion of the hour right after this.
Do you love a great deal? Do you love animals? Then you need to shop at the Humane Society of Southern Arizona's thrift store. Located at 5311 East Speedway, the HSSA thrift store has something for everyone, like new furniture provided by the wonderful team at Sam Levitt's, clothing, housewares, vintage items, and of course, pet supplies. Hurry into the HSSA thrift store at 5311 East Speedway and see what surprises are waiting for you.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Bon Voyage Travel's 2018 Travel Showcase is back. With over 30 travel companies to share their knowledge and a room full of travel professionals, you can't go wrong. Planning the perfect vacation takes time and involves quite a bit of research. Bon Voyage Travel is here to simplify the process and ensure you always receive the best value. Join us February 3rd at La Paloma from noon to 4 p.m. There'll be presentations, exclusive offers, prizes, and a show floor giving you the opportunity to have a one-on-one consultation with us. Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This is our roundtable portion of our Friday. We begin with our Friday Focus interview. Today it was with Councilwoman Rahina Romero. And then we have our roundtable. Dylan Smith is here, editor, publisher, and founder about 8 years ago of TucsonSentinel.com, Tucson's online news service. Hi, Dylan.
Hey. I've got a KVOI traffic alert for everyone out there.
Please listening. Give it to us.
Avoid Grant and Swan.
Okay.
The traffic light there is basically shut down. It's a four-way stop, and you can get backed up for about 15 minutes if you want to try and get through that intersection. So go around. I guess it's downtown. It's probably a good problem to have to have everything be a parking lot. Not so much at that intersection. It's not so great right now.
Joe Ferguson is here. Joe is the political writer, one of the political writers for the Arizona Daily Star. And for those listening Saturday morning, hopefully that will, on the re-air of the program, the traffic.
They'll have that cleaned up by then? Yeah.
I would hope. I would hope so. One thing we didn't bring up, Joe, with Councilwoman Rahina Romero, Tucson did do well on a list calling Tucson. I don't know who put the list out. Tom Fairbanks, was it one of these, like, internet things that noted that Tucson was one of the hippest cities in the United
yeah,
States.
Yeah, it was. Like, yeah, let me see if I can find that for you real quick.
Wallet Hub,
Mobato. There it is.
Movehub.com.
Movehub.com.
Yeah, I guess I'm not a hipster because I'm not a. I don't have any tattoos, and I'm not a vegan. So.
There you go. But they ranked the cities on the number of microbreweries, tattoo parlors, vegan stores, and thrift shops per 100,000 population. Vancouver, I assume that's Vancouver, British Columbia, not Vancouver, Washington, was number one. Salt Lake City and Cincinnati right behind. Tucson was number 14.
You've got some of the five T's of Tucson worked in there, you know. You've got your tattoo parlors and thrift stores. You know, the mayor's always bragging about the five T's of Tucson. I think, you know, some of the other ones might be, taco shops and tequila bars.
You know, absent the microbreweries, we should have been hip for a long time. We've had those thrift shops and we've had those tattoo parlors for a very long time. So we've been cutting edge for quite some time.
We've been losing some thrift shops lately. The Savers over on Oracle in Fort Lowell closed, and the infamous, I guess, Value Village not only moved off of Fourth Avenue quite a while ago, but that's now shut down. The place up on Stone, a sad loss for people who
part of my childhood
to sort through junk.
All right, Amazon made their decision as far as the final list of 20. And, of course, Tucson and Phoenix and the state of Arizona were all hoping to get some attention. It's not going to happen. Pretty much, Dylan,
this surprise you?
No. does not surprise me because, let's face it, Seattle in the Northwest is their headquarters. So you would think they would want to counter it with someplace in the East, right, Joe?
Well, I think that they may have had a false start with that Sorrow going in the back of a truck somewhere. So
that was, I guess, if you look at it on a national basis, a fairly good publicity stunt.
Yeah, it was.
Tucson got
attention
a little bit of play
getting,
out of
yes,
that.
Yes, it did.
From the point of view here, I think it was a little bit silly and cliched and certainly was not a realistic venture to try and attract that headquarters here. They're looking for some place with that's much more connected, both nearer to other major metropolitan areas, better transportation options, and certainly our educational system plays into corporations making decisions to move places. And look at that report card that just came out again, where Arizona is still stuck way at the bottom of the pack.
How about turning to politics? Well, I guess you could say Amazon's politics too. But Joe, there's some polling, very preliminary polling on the U.S. Senate race concerning Martha McSally, Sheriff Joe, and Kelly Ward.
Yeah, it just came out. But, I think that poll is always kind of this temperature check of what's going on, and that poll came out just after both McSally and Arpaio jumped into the race, so they had a lot of media support behind them, whereas Ward was trailing behind after being the lone wolf in the race for so long.
And you've got Kelly Ward trying to pretend that she's never even heard of Steve Bannon, much less shaken his hand and accepted his endorsement, and stood up on stage and compared him to the most interesting man in the world in a very fawning manner.
Here in Tucson, no less.
It's a little bit silly for her to try and
disown
with a straight face, act like she has never, doesn't even know who the guy is.
Then you had your colleague Tim Steller, our friend, also one of our contributors to our program here on Friday, writing today about Martha McSally and the use of her salty language that she has, I think that was her word for what Mr. Trump, President Trump, had said. But anyway, she's trying to align herself, obviously, as much as possible with the Trump people.
And this comes almost 6 months to the day where she was complaining behind closed doors about the Trump or the press and others comparing her to Trump, saying that she wasn't his twin sister.
Yeah, and refusing throughout the entire election to even talk about him, much less endorse him. She never said that she was trying to disavow him during the campaign. She just kept as tight-lipped as possible about Trump running for president.
I don't know what she told you, but she kept telling me that it was her job to legislate, not to talk about President Trump.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Jim Nintzel, our friend, also another contributor to this program, who's the editor at The Weekly, writes about this the McSally race. Jim still feels, Joe, that at this point, McSally is kind of the front runner in the race against Congresswoman Sinema.
It's hard to really put a finger on
it. Has there been some polling about how McSally would do against Sinema?
No, nothing that I've come across that's recent. I'm sure that McSally has done some of that kind of polling, but
they both have. But whether it's really spot on at this point.
Right. No, I mean,
very open question.
And McSally's push to align herself with Trump so much is going to be, could be a hindrance in a general race next November.
I had Leah Marquez Peterson on the program this week. First time I have talked with Leah since she became a candidate officially about a month ago. And at this point, there is no competition on the Republican side.
No, but I do expect
expect someone.
At least one more to come in. DJ Morales out of Douglas has been pretty vocal about being interested in the race.
I asked her about being aligned with Trump. Is she Trump enough? And that seems to be kind of the litmus test for a lot of Republicans. And she said that she really has, because I was of the impression that Leah had come out against the border wall, but she corrected me and said that no, she was actually in favor of it. Anyway. You guys don't want to go there, obviously.
Well, I mean, I think that would take more time than we probably have to delve too deeply into that. The interesting thing about how Marquez Peterson has to campaign is how close to Trump does she want to get?
Right.
How much does she want to sort of follow the model that McSally's using to run statewide in a district in CD2 where Trump lost the congressional vote by a pretty significant margin. So, in CD2, it's probably not a great thing to be in the general election, considered sort of a proxy for President Trump. In the primary, that might play. Certainly not in the general, though.
Any polling on the six-way race on the Democratic side? Anything you have seen recently on that?
We're not
in CD2.
We haven't seen any polling on that lately, but I do think a good bellwether is coming up next week or 2 weeks from now when we start seeing fundraising numbers for the last quarter and to see where some of these newer candidates are really pulling in money. So, I know that at least one of them, Bruce Wheeler, says it's not about money, but certainly to get your message out, certainly to crisscross a fairly large district, you do have to spend some money to get that name recognition past single digits.
And that is the key.
The
name recognition is so important. And now we have a three-way race on the Democratic side for governor. We have Kelly Fryer, who is the CEO of the YWCA here in Tucson. Kelly was my guest on Monday or Tuesday. This week, anyway. You lose track after a while.
Well, then things are only going to get busier from here on out.
But that's interesting, and she understands full well that it's all about name recognition. And so I saw that your colleague Tim Steller said, as far as the fundraising in that race, that Senator Farley is leading the pack there over Professor Garcia.
Well, and Farley does need a little bit more money to get that name recognition past Tucson. I mean, certainly he's been in the legislature, but his colleague just got done with a statewide race 2 years ago. So people know who he was, even if it is the guy who lost to Diane Douglas.
Do people know who he was? I mean, that's kind of a down-ballot race. I mean, people who are involved in politics know, but does the wider pool of people who vote know?
Well, it's still going to be, you know, he has to get through a primary before he needs to worry about Doug Ducey. So the people that know about him are the people he needs right now.
Yeah.
And the governor is certainly trying to take away the education issue. It's the centerpiece for Governor Ducey at this point, and obviously that, I think it's pretty obvious, it's directed at the his opponents, who certainly Farley and Garcia, who education is the top priority.
Does one budget that might throw a little bit more money at education make up for years and years and years of slashing the education budget?
Don't know.
I mean, that's certainly the political message they're trying to convey, but will that stick?
We'll see. Dylan Smith, thank you, Dylan. We'll look for your
Absolutely.
Work at TucsonSentinel.com. Joe, we'll see your piece tomorrow. We kind of previewed it, talking about downtown and the cost of parking in downtown. That's tomorrow on the Arizona Daily Star.
Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot. All right. Coming up next, Weekend Watch with Mr. Matt Russell, and he'll be telling us about all the activities going on this weekend right after this. An Indian food lover's paradise awaits at Indian Twist, located at the southwest corner of Swan and Camp Lowell, with a varied and extensive menu, including vegetarian options and many dishes prepared in the tandoor oven. Indian Twist offers takeout and buffet lunch daily, with dinner served family style. The full bar features Indian beers on tap. Indian Twist, Swan and Camp Lowell, and IndianTwistAZ.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport, and when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights, and with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
All righty then, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, proud to present Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, Inside Tucson Business / Tucson Weekly, food and beverage columnist. He is also an award-winning public relations, Russell Public Communications. What a fine organization that is. Matt is the founder, the president, and CEO. Weekend Watch, again, as I say, southwestnewmexico.org is the place for all the information about the very friendly people and the great things to do in Silver City, the full listing of the hotels, and many recreation opportunities. And we have some eating, or I guess you could call eating a recreation opportunity, Matt Russell.
We sure do, and what an introduction. I have the old Buckmaster blush going right now. Thank you so much.
Hey, is it Dillinger Days again?
Yeah, it is. Believe it or not, it's Dillinger Days returning to the Hotel Congress this weekend. Now, of course, this is the event that showcases the times and tales of public enemy number one. It all starts at 7 o'clock tonight at a Dillinger speakeasy. Now, this is an adult-only event featuring a lineup of craft whiskeys and beers, premium cigars, appetizers, live music, so much more. And then the event continues on Saturday with historic reenactments of Dillinger's capture, some historic lectures, a vintage car show. John Dillinger, very much a part of Tucson's history, Bill. So check out Dillinger Days this weekend.
Another restaurant opening.
Can you believe it? What a shock! The newest restaurant to open its doors in Tucson is Abuela's Cocina Mexicana. They are in the former Old Pueblo Grill space over on Alvernon.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. A long-time Tucson favorite eatery. The menu was drawn entirely from recipes of the owner's grandmother. Seafood, tacos, ceviches kind of anchor this menu, but you're not going to find other Sonoran staples like burritos or chimichangas here. If it didn't come from the grandma's kitchen, it won't be on their menu. Abuela's is officially open.
Is there a James Beard Award local winner?
Yeah, check it out. The National James Beard Award is the top of the list, Bill, when you consider the kind of chefs and restaurants that change people's lives. And believe it or not, the latest James Beard Award winner announced just yesterday is El Güero Canelo, makers of the Tucson Sonoran hot dog.
Oh, my.
So that's our local delicacy got the attention of the leading culinary thinkers in the country, and the role that this dog plays in our culture obviously can't be discounted. So stop into El Güero Canelo this weekend and have a James Beard Award-winning hot dog. I never thought I'd be saying that on your show, Bill.
Yeah, that is a top dog award, I'll tell you. What's in the column Inside Tucson Business / Tucson Weekly?
Yeah, you know what? I often ask, what does it take to plate up a tender and succulent octopus?
What?
You know, Not easy to do, but I sat down recently with the Oracle of the Octopi, and his secrets are revealed in my column this week. Check it out.
Have a great weekend. Thank you, sir.
Cheers, Bill. Thanks.
Also, the second annual Tucson Japanese Festival is this weekend at, excuse me, that is not this weekend. This weekend isn't the 20th. Yes, it is. That's the 20th. That's tomorrow, Saturday from 1 to 5, Pima Community College downtown campus for the Tucson Japanese Festival. So lots going on this weekend. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Big shout out to Christophon for our original music, Rosemary Brandt, my assistant, Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing our program, all of the ladies up front here at KVOI and Good News Communication, making sure everything, all the paperwork is in order. They don't get enough credit, do they, Tom? But thanks to Ray Allen, our operations manager and my producer engineer, 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday. A funny man, production guy, Jerry Cross, want to wish him the best, does such great spots. The whole team here, everybody at KVOI, wishes you a very safe and a very pleasant weekend.